Kia ora mai te whānau o te atua. Hello, family of God. Welcome along to evening prayer for this Tuesday of Holy Week. It's really, really special to be here with you once again. I wonder how you arrived to prayer tonight. Has it been a busy day, perhaps, with too much in it to achieve? Mine was a little bit like that. Or has it been a day where you've enjoyed rest and a time to unwind? Were you at home for the day, or did you venture out into the great unknown of the grocery store, or perhaps even some exercise in your streets? Were you surrounded by buzz and noise and mischief and mayhem in your bubble, or was it another day of everything just being a little bit too quiet for your liking? Was today a day of joy and excitement and happiness, or was today a day of grief and mourning and pain? No matter your experience of this day, here we find ourselves united once again at the feet of Jesus. And all of us are equal in this space, and we're reminded here again that we are known, that we are loved, and that regardless of where we happened to find ourselves today, there Jesus was with us as well. And so be encouraged by some familiar words from the psalmist again this evening, from Psalm 139. The psalmist says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." Family in Christ, our hope is in the eternal God who is making the heavens and the earth. Eternal Spirit, flow through our being and open our lips that our mouths may proclaim your praise, and let us worship the God who loves us. Amen. Our gospel reading tonight comes from Matthew chapter 21, starting from about verse 28. Jesus is speaking with some of the religious leaders and he stops to tell them a story. "Tell me what you think of the story," Jesus says. "A man had two sons. He went up to the first and said, 'Son, go out for the day and work in the vineyard.' And the son answered, 'I don't want to.' And later on, he thought better of it and went. The father gave the same command to the second son, and he answered, 'Sure, I'd be glad to,' but he never ended up going. Which of the two sons did what the father asked?" Jesus said. And they said to him, "The first." And Jesus said, "Yes, and I tell you that the crooks and the prostitutes are going to precede you into God's kingdom. John came to you showing you the right road, and you turned up your noses at him, but the crooks and the prostitutes believed him. Even when you saw their changed lives, you didn't care enough to change and to believe what he said." This is one of those two-edged kind of little stories of Jesus. Encouraging on the one hand and really, really difficult all at the same time. I wonder, have you ever got into one of those hypothetical conversations about God's grace? Like if Hitler or if Pol Pot had turned to Jesus at the last minute and genuinely repented, where would they end up? The question might be posed. And sure, a lot of that is like incredibly hypothetical, but the frustrating and aggravating thing about a lot of Jesus' stories around God's grace is that we've got to believe that through how big his grace is, there's going to be some unexpected surprises when we find ourselves on the other side of eternity. That there might be room there even for those we think to be particularly horrible or unworthy of any of it, because, well, God is beyond our own reckoning in that respect. God's grace is uncomfortable and, in fact, sometimes downright insulting to some people. And here in this Holy Week, as the gloves have come off a bit in Jesus' words, he's reminding some of those who would have been considered amongst the most morally upright and worthy of their peers that just because they have appeared to have qualified top of their class, the way in which things work in God's world actually has less to do with how they're perceived by those around them and more what the evidence of their lives in response to God has been. There's going to be extra space for those who are willing to turn and change, regardless of who they are, but just being a good and upright person, top of the class as far as anyone around you is concerned, well, it counts for very little, Jesus is saying, if it's not being lived out. This parable is surrounded by a whole load of tough teaching, but we have to remember that the cross is in sight this week and Jesus isn't wanting to waste his words. It's too important. Before we get to tomorrow night, he'll have been talking about dividing up those sheep and the goats, those who believe and live like they do, from those who just pay lip service to all of it. So just, I guess, really simply tonight, an encouragement. And then if you'll permit me, as if this time wasn't challenging enough, a challenge for some of us as well. Firstly, to those who feel unworthy and undeserving, who are not sure where they sit with God right now, in this time where all of our insecurities and fears are being elevated, know this night that there is nothing that you can have done to separate yourself from the love of God for you. That the story of this week, the remarkable, the unfathomable story of this week is that there is nothing that God won't do for you to allow that to be made true. You are his much loved child. That is who you are. He makes this step towards you, and now he waits for you to respond. And then maybe to those of us who might have got a little bit too settled and set in our ways, the reminder of this week is a reminder of how seriously God takes all of this. There's nothing that we can do to earn what Jesus is about to do for us, but can I encourage you to press in this week into this reminder of the magnitude of what God is willing to do for someone like you? Can I challenge you to be soft this week, this very special week, to the reality of God's grace and goodness that extends, yes, to everyone else, but is even necessary for people just like you as well? This is a week that demands a response. It demands change in us. As God moves towards us, so too must we move towards him. Not just to hear what he says, but to act on it, to live into it. Jesus comes this week to make us new. And so may we be open to his movement in us and through us in these days ahead. We're going to pray again now for ourselves and for our community and our world. And as we do, we begin by taking a moment to quiet ourselves before him and to be reminded again of his presence with us in this space. Lord, as last light fades and evening comes, we bring the world around us before you. Our whole earth is here, united and facing a common enemy right now. And so, Lord, we pray again for the leaders of the nations. We pray for your wisdom and your love to flow through them in the administration of their people. We want to pray that through their work and through the movement of your spirit, that lives would be saved. We ask that this would be a set of events right now that would work in drawing our world closer together, that through this time we would be reminded of the value of our fellow man. We want to pray in particular for all of those nations that aren't currently making any of the headlines, those spaces in our world where the spread of this virus is just much too hard to track, and where untold numbers of people are facing the very real threat that it poses right now. Each of those numbers is your beloved child, God. And so we ask that you would draw close to them in this time. May they know your loving presence surrounding them. We think of our country, Aotearoa New Zealand. We bring it before you once again, and we thank you for our leaders and those who are tasked with our care. We pray for the citizens of this land who are enduring under this lockdown. We pray tonight for the isolated and the alone, for those who are suffering in this time. Draw close to them, we pray. for those who are suffering the grief of separation from those that they love, for those who have suffered loss and who are unable to grieve properly. Lord, may your love and peace enfold them. We ask this night for expanded hearts and minds for each other. Help us to truly learn to live with our neighbour in mind in this space. And lastly, Lord, tonight we pray for ourselves. Help us to journey well with you this week, Jesus. Help us to see what you want us to see. Help us to feel what you want us to feel. And as we walk towards the cross and out the other side, may we be transformed by you and through you. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. So now as we come to the end of our prayer time, we pray again together using the words that Jesus gave us. And please join in using whatever version it is that you're familiar with. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Well, it's been really special to share this Tuesday night of Holy Week along together with you. And my prayer is that as we head out into whatever the rest of this evening holds and whatever the rest of this week holds, that we would be open, truly open, to what God might be wanting to say and do in us and through us as his people in this special time. And so go in the knowledge of his sustaining love enfolding you and going ahead of you into each and every moment of this week ahead. May God bless us all. Amen.